In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He was well respected. He was a man that people looked up to in the community. He had a position of prominence, a position of authority. He was clothed in purple and fine linen, which is the attire of a man who had achieved a position of great importance within the community. No doubt he worked very hard for the wealth that he achieved. Perhaps his business provided work and a livelihood for many within the community. Perhaps he also wrote large checks to charities. In any case, he enjoyed the fruits of his labor. As Jesus said in the parable, the rich man fared sumptuously every day. He ate well. He could afford the finer things of life. On the other hand, Lazarus was a beggar. You know what a beggar is, someone who is totally and completely and utterly dependent upon someone else. He had nothing. He is described by Jesus in the parable as the poorest of the poor. We don't know any of the details of his particular circumstance. How did he get to be in this position? How had he lost his livelihood? Did he ever have the means to support himself? Had he been an orphan for his entire life? Had he been divorced? Was he the victim of some unfortunate circumstances? Or had he simply been irresponsible? That's a possibility too. That he had stuff and then he frittered it all away. And then after frittering it all away, he got sick. And there was no cure, and he was covered with sores, and dogs came and licked him. In any case, Jesus describes a destitute man, content to receive but crumbs that would fall from the rich man's table. But there is no indication that he even received that. Kind of pathetic, isn't it? If you were covered with sores, would you want a dog to lick your sores? I wouldn't. We know from Jesus' parable the fate of each of these men. The rich man went to hell. The beggar Lazarus went to heaven. But when I hear the description of the two, every time I hear it, and I mention it often, I'd rather, at least in this life, I'd rather be the rich man. I'd rather fare sumptuously every day, bone in, ribeye, medium rare, baked potato, you know, sitting with a brandy old fashioned out on the deck, faring sumptuously every day. And in so many ways, we as Americans here in 2021 are like the rich man in the way in which we fare. And wouldn't you have rather have been him in this life? During the past year of the COVID pandemic, we have been given the opportunity for each of us to examine the things that are most important in our life. And what I have found is those things that I've gravitated to and wanted to hang on to, they can't really satisfy the deepest yearnings of my heart. They may be satisfying for a moment, but then they're fleeting, and they leave me empty. When things are going well and we are able to enjoy the fruits of our labors, it's easy for us to say things like, Christ is the most important thing in my life. However, when those things that we've worked so hard for are threatened or are taken away, and there's inflation on the rise, and we wonder about our future, then our confession of faith in Christ may not be what we thought it was. Luther says that a God is whatever we look to for our most and greatest good in life. You shall have no other gods. What do you trust in? What's the one thing that if you lost it, you would be in despair? A God is whatever would throw us into this sense of hopelessness if we no longer had it. Sometimes, this is how God, the Holy Spirit, tutors us in the circumstances of our lives by the Word. Sometimes it's good to have the idols of our lives threatened. And every one of us has idols. Because every one of us has a sinful flesh, and the sinful flesh is by nature an idolater. He gravitates towards these things. So it's good to have these things threatened because it exposes them. So when adversity, sickness, hardship, or loss come, we see what we are threatened by, that we might cry out in the words of Luther's hymn, Lord, have mercy. When things are going well, however, we can be lulled into a sense of spiritual complacency and lose the one thing needful, Christ and His Word. What's so lovely about the gospel? And we need to learn to believe this. So you can take this home and contemplate it. What is so lovely about the gospel is that it doesn't take away suffering in our lives, or sadness, or the tears of sorrow. But it rather enables us under such crosses of affliction to bear them with a patience and a peace, as Jesus says, that the world cannot give. Let me be clear. Riches do not condemn, nor does poverty save. It's not as if poverty is a virtue. If you make yourself really poor, then you'll go to heaven. That's not it at all. That would be the other side of a works righteous faith. It is faith in Christ that saves. It is that faith that Abraham was called to by that simple promise, in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. I am your shield and your great reward. It is when the gospel and Spirit of God, through those promises, calls us to trust in Jesus. Faith in Christ saves. There's much to meditate upon in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. We get the opportunity to do it every first Sunday after the Trinity. One of those things is how faith of a person's heart dictates his actions. When you go back over the parable, you see this. In the early verses of the parable, there doesn't appear to be anything in the rich man that is offensive. However, Jesus wants to imply that he gave nothing to his unfortunate neighbor. So as the parable progresses, we see that in his closed heart toward that destitute man, we see his faith and we see his lovelessness. He really had made a god out of his money and out of his pleasures. But what did this false faith produce? He became a man who cared only about himself and who despised those who had not achieved. Even from the grave, he tries to order Lazarus around. Faith in anything but Christ will inevitably degenerate into self-centeredness, selfishness, and arrogant pride. And the person who wants to hang on to these things finds that he has no peace, all the while insisting, if I just have, then I will. Faith in Christ. What is it born of? The Apostle John said in the epistle for today, we love him because he first loved us. Love for Christ and love for one another, for our fellow sinners, is born of the love of Christ received. When Abram was called to faith, he was a rich man. He was like the rich man in the parable who had flocks and herds and lived the good life. And then he was called to faith by a promise, the promise of the gospel, that seed who would be his righteousness and through whom God in his generosity would bring the blessing of eternal life and salvation to unworthy sinners like Abram and like you and like me. When the Apostle John says, we love him because he first loved us, he is talking about that forgiving love that is communicated to us in the precious gospel and sacraments of our Lord, that is communicated to us as sinners in our idolatrous condition, that he would dare to love someone like the rich man in the parable, that he would dare to love someone like you who, according to your fleshly natures, gravitates and holds on to the wealth and the pleasures and the things of this life as the one thing needful, that he dares to come to us in the word of the gospel to call us to repentance and to forgive our sin and to give us a comfort and a promise of life that we don't deserve, that he, through the word of the gospel, calls us to see ourselves, no matter what we have, as beggars before God, one and all. Only the gospel can do that. We love him because he first loved us, poor, miserable, idolatrous sinners. Why did Christ die for you? His great love for his Father. That's why he loved you. This is what caused Jesus to love us ahead of himself. His reliance, his trust in his Father, especially in the face of suffering and death and the loss of everything. That's the love on display. The self-giving love of God that we spoke of last week on the Feast of the Holy Trinity that motivates each of the three persons in his creative and saving and sanctifying work. And it's fully on display in the cross. There, Jesus suffers and dies to save us from this self-centeredness. There on the cross, to use the language of Jesus' own parable, there on the cross, he becomes the naked, sickly beggar for you, who, when he is stripped of everything, trusts only in the promise of his Father's love. The proud and arrogant dogs of self-righteousness barked at Jesus and licked his wounds with the taunt, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross, save yourself. What a self-centered taunt. But he wouldn't do it. He couldn't do it because had he done it, he would have denied his love for you and for me. We love him because he first loved us. 30 years ago, April, in this very room, we sang the hymn on a Thursday night that we just sang as the hymn of the day. That hymn of Luther's, the Prayer of the Holy Spirit. It was when I met with you the first time, having received the call to be your pastor. In the words of Luther's hymn, we hear what is the essence of the church. And on this day, when we gather after the divine service to contemplate extending a call to an associate pastor and headmaster, we remember those words of Luther in that hymn. Teach us, Jesus Christ, to know aright, that we may abide in the Lord who bought us, till to our true homeland he has brought us. Lord, have mercy. It is our prayer today and every day, as long as we live, that he might make beggars of us all. In the name of Jesus. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen.